your brothers and sisters in Christ this weekend of the elevation of the Holy Cross. I pray that you're well. And I would like to answer a question about an aspect of the precious cross that may not be known to a lot of us. I've received a question from a good friend, Gabriel, who just completed his study at Holy Cross in Boston. Perhaps you would have time to answer a question. I was talking with a friend of mine who's a student at Holy Cross, and she had just returned from the Akathist to the cross. So she was a little confused by this particular service, as she expressed to me. And these are her words: "I don't understand why we are addressing the cross in the same way as we might address a saint or even the Theotokos. I understand him in the Panagia or the saints because of their achievements, but the cross is just a piece of wood. How can we pray to the cross?" A very good question indeed, and I thought I would just take the opportunity to invoke the power of the most precious cross of Christ to strengthen our sisters at Life-Giving Spring Monastery who are being tried at this point. As you know, the flames are surrounding the holy grounds of the monastery, and we want to invoke the power of the Holy Cross to strengthen and protect the firefighters and all those who are risking their lives to put these catastrophic fires out. And at the same time, we want to remind our sisters about our talk about a month ago at the ranch, that nothing happens. Nothing absolutely happens without Christ allowing it. Nothing happens without our holy triune God being totally present. So we always trust in God, regardless of the outcome. Everything that happens is known by God. God can stop it. And of course, we will pray for a miracle. But whatever the outcome is, we will continue to have our total trust in God and seek His deep and holy will. So from a hagiological point of view, the precious wood of Christ, although wood, it is a hypostatic entity. In other words, it is a person, and it takes on some amazing characteristics. While on earth and dispersed all over the planet, the pieces of the true cross are non-combustible, they do not sink in water, and they are non-perishable. Those in history who try to doubt these attributes and they try to burn pieces of the precious cross of Christ out of curiosity or out of demonic energy, they were themselves burned, and many of them were sent to perdition and to the eternal fire ahead of their time. Now, the relics of the saints are combustible. They can perish in fire, but the precious cross of Christ is incombustible because Christ's plan is to bring all the pieces together once again at the end of time. God will bring all the pieces of the cross together before the second coming. So the historical cross of Christ will be elevated high in heaven to ring in the second coming of Christ. At that time, the Holy Cross will flash through the sky and will be more bright than 1,000 suns, according to our tradition. It is significant that St. John Chrysostom prayed to God to have him exit this life either during Bright Week or during the elevation of the cross of Christ, because it was believed by the Christians in those days and through the centuries that as the church, as the priest elevates the Holy Cross on the 14th of September, there's a noetic fire cross that starts from the grounds of the church and goes all the way to the throne of Christ. And woe to the demons who try to be anywhere near that path of the cross. And of course, it was believed that it was a great honor for Christians to sleep in the Lord on the day of the elevation of the cross, because the demons would not be able to get near them. This was one of the reasons why St. John Chrysostom himself was praying for God to allow him to exit this life on the 14th of September, and this happened during 407 AD. So the reason behind this hypostatic attribute of the cross of Christ is because the planks that form the cross of Christ. They were imbued by the all-immaculate and precious blood of Christ. After the cross was drenched by the immaculate blood of Christ for 3 hours on the cross, from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So now we address the cross as a person. And in our hymnology, we constantly chant, "Rejoice, cross of the Lord, divine protection of the faithful. You are my powerful protection, O cross of Christ. Sanctify me by your power so I can worship and glorify you with faith and desire." And this was written by Leo the Bishop. In other hymns, "Rejoice, O precious cross, the guide of the blind, the physician of the ill, the resurrection of all the deceased." The hymns are addressing the cross as a living, life-giving entity due to the presence of the immaculate blood stains of the Master. Once again, crosses that contain a piece of the actual historical cross of Christ. Those crosses are very miraculous. They can speak, they can knock, they can speak in different languages. They come and go as they please, as we know from some of the crosses in Crete of Father Stavro. We did several hours of the miracles of that cross a few years back. So all this power is manifest in the precious cross of Christ. So the Holy Cross was drenched by the most precious blood of Christ. And this blood does not evaporate, but to this day, it is actively present within these parts, these pieces of the cross that is dispersed throughout the universe, throughout the world. This past weekend, while reading the life of Saint Nectarios all over again, I was reminded about the little incident of Anastasios, the name of Saint Nectarios when he was little. He was on a boat, and the sea was so tempestuous that the boat was ready to capsize. And little Anastasios took out his Holy Cross given to him by his grandmother, and this cross did have a piece of the historical cross of Christ. He tied it on a little string and he placed it in the sea, and instantly the sea was totally calm. But in the process, the cross became lost, and little Anastasios was very sad because this was a treasure, a family treasure given to him by his grandmother. So he could not be comforted. But at the end of the journey, they heard a great noise under the boat. And when the sailors, they went into the sea, check and see where this noise was coming from, they discovered that it was this Holy Cross that was knocking on the rudder of the boat. And of course, they gave it back to his rightful owner, little Anastasios, who was overly enjoyed by this great miracle. So once again, the blood of Christ is not only present in Holy Communion, but also his historical blood can be found on those pieces of the precious cross of Christ. And this divine blood of Christ gives the most precious cross the same power and characteristics of Christ himself. So let's not be scandalized by these great services that our church has used for centuries. And we can chant along with our fathers of the past, "Cross of Christ, the hope of the Christians, the guide of the deluded, the safe haven of the afflicted, the grantor of victory in battles, the safeguard of the universe, the doctor of the infirm, the resurrection of the deceased." These are all characteristics of Christ, and these characteristics are attributed to the most holy cross of Christ because the cross of Christ was imbued by the holy blood of the Master. And once again, we invoke the power of the cross of Christ to strengthen our sisters of life-giving spring who needed to leave their monastery. And through this event, we pray that their faith is strengthened, and to never doubt for a second that God's will be done. And through these temptations, we become much stronger Christians. Amen.